Before we get too far into this, thanks to the folks at Racetech, Pulp 24, Save at Racetech. Love those guys. Big supporters of the Arena Cross Series as well. And racetech.com, motor work, suspension work, whatever it is, they'll help you out. Tell them you listen to Pulp. They'll dial you in. They got service centers all across America. And, yeah, man, show your bike some love, and it'll show you love back. Racetech, racetech.com.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, Birmingham, Alabama edition. Let's talk about Birmingham and all that went down there. Inaugural race there in Birmingham. And, yeah, thanks to the folks at Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. Whether it's Dean Wilson, whether it's RJ Hampshire, whether it's Max Anstey, so on and so forth, wearing Fly Racing out there. And, man, they do great work. 25 years of Fly, as I mentioned. Check out the Formula S helmet. Check out the Evo gear. Kinetic mesh is should be launching soon. It's great for the vented. It's great for the vents in the warmer weather. Flyracing.com, of course, for all their information on all the latest greatest from those guys. Goggles, boots, gear, helmets, Formula helmets again. They got you covered head to toe. They got mountain bike stuff as well. I rock it a lot. So thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for coming on board this podcast. Motorsport.com, Renthal, Maxxis as well. We'll tell you about those later. But let's talk to JT and Weege about Birmingham. Okay, everybody, let's talk some Birmingham Supercross. With me on the line, a couple of gentlemen who were involved in the TV production of the race. First up, calling the action, it's Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a quick introduction. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Was calling it. Was fun. Was good to be there.
Yeah.
And fun show with a lot of, not the 450 main, obviously, but the whole bunch of stuff happened outside of that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there was a lot going on. Thank you for stopping by the press box. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep, rubbed it in. I really just wanted to visit Lewis Phillips on GP opening weekend. I just really wanted to get the vibe.
Yeah.
And he probably hated the fact that he was in America this weekend.
Yeah, he had the qualifying races on his computer, of course. We were watching him. So, yeah, there was that.
Yep.
Yeah, lots to talk about when it comes to Birmingham, for sure. Also on the line, the pit reporter, Feld from the Feld races, and Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Jason Thomas, what's up, JT?
Pit reporter from the Feld races.
Yep.
what the heck is that?
Well, I got mixed into Fly and Feld TV. I just stopped, you know. Listen, I talk a lot, all right? And sometimes you make mistakes.
The Feld races.
The Feld races. They are the Feld races. They are.
I mean, I'm also Pro Motocross Championship as well.
No, nah, they're the Feld.
Actually, where I started.
Those are the Feld ones, too.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, listen, cut me some slack, all right? I had a very early morning.
All right.
I did get upgraded, though, both legs, so that was nice. Thank you, United, for that. Okay, lots to talk about when it comes to the race. First of all, Birmingham. Inaugural visit to Birmingham. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think I'd be surprised to see it back. Like,
really?
The stadium, they had bleacher seats for most of it.
I thought it worked.
I didn't think there were people there. I didn't think it was attended well. I didn't like the bleachers. The pit setup was funky. There was two levels.
So is this about you? Is this about you, or is this about the event
Both.
Being a successful event?
Both.
Okay.
Look, the crowds
are. It is hard to separate, JT.
I
was following him until he said the bleacher seats, and I like he started going into things that affect him.
Yeah. No, it's all of it. It's everything. There's no Starbucks close by.
JT, we were at dinner on Friday night, and some fans come up, and I came over. I came back from the restroom in like mid convo, and Steve is like, "Yeah, proximity to the airport, at Starbucks, and a hotel." And he's running through his like reasoning of why you take up an event.
The woman said, "What events are your favorite on the schedule?" And JT will back me up on this. I guarantee you, JT will back me up on this. It's not about the stadium. It's about
proximity to Starbucks.
It's all the amenities. It's the drive to the hotel. It's the hotel's being nice. It's Starbucks. It's a nice stadium. Like it's all of it. It's all.
I mean, no Starbucks is not like high
that's
on
fine.
The list,
yeah,
but. Like the hotel was literally next door.
I don't feel like anything that affects us should be factored into a race being good or not.
Okay, well, why didn't you pipe up when that lady said, "What's your favorite race of the series?" Or where do you like to go?
There's a difference here between whether you think the race is good or not, or saying it's going to come back or not. Those are two very different things.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to come back because I don't think the attendance was very good.
Well, they had biblical rain on Friday, so I don't know that they're going to judge it off of that. But I would venture a guess that that was not like on the high end of the range for stadium rental costs, which lowers the needed attendance level.
Yeah, Weed, stop making all that noise. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I just somebody turned a car on and it literally stole my Bluetooth from the driveway.
Okay, so yeah, like let's go back to Atlanta. Let's just do that.
You think that Speedway at Atlanta was better than this?
Yeah, I do.
I'm out. I'm out on that.
Why?
I'm like 100 times out on that.
Why?
I don't like that tunnel I have to walk through.
So it's all about you? It's all about you?
No. The fans that were stuck in a line for like that couldn't move inside the tunnel, that wasn't great.
Okay, well,
I thought it was fine. Like, I didn't think it was like the best event of all time. I'm not judging it off Starbucks though.
I'm not either, JT. I'm not either. I'm judging everything. And the pit setup was funky. The smaller stadium, bleachers, press box not so good. No Starbucks. Expensive hotels. We're out.
The press box.
We're out.
What was wrong with the press box?
Oh no.
The press box was fine.
No, it was not. There were giant.
Can you please tell us why?
There were giant pillars in the middle of the windows that would literally block out jumps. You had to move side to side. Well, Lewis wasn't happy either.
Well, you guys are coming off Daytona where you were in the president's suite all day. Like I don't know what to tell you, man.
There was no tri-tip.
Ruined.
There was no tri-tip. There was no shrimp cocktail. None of that.
No ice cream.
No ice cream. No. But I don't know. I don't know if they're going back or not. But if you ask me to go Atlanta or Birmingham, I'm going to vote Atlanta 10 times out of 10.
I think the crowd, I think everything was fine. Even the pits were like not connected to the stadium. They were far away. But the indoor pits, I think, are always pretty cool. And we see that work very successfully at St. Louis, for example, the few places that have indoor pits. I thought that was actually good. And I think the dirt actually would have been good if it didn't rain, but the crowd was light. And I guess it all comes down to this. Does this place not draw a crowd, or was it the rain keeping the people away?
I did talk to someone involved, and they said as the weather forecast got worse, so did ticket sales trend downwards. Like they were doing really well, like leading up, and I'm sure they have lots of formulas for how's it going 5 days out, 4 days out, whatever, and they kind of know. And then they said they could see the weather turned down as far as forecast for Friday, and sales just started dropping off accordingly. And then you don't get any of the walk-ups. Like the people local, it's like, we'll just walk up and buy tickets that day. You're not getting any of those people with weather like we had on Friday.
I was talking to a local media guy. He told me the stadium opened with Garth Brooks' concert and then whatever. He told me all the stuff that goes on in that stadium. And then somebody on Twitter, of course, because it's Twitter, told me that someone told him that event was the most successful thing they've ever had in that stadium. And I'm like, I hope to God it's not, because that upper deck, I got a feeling there was more people for Garth Brooks. I'm just guessing.
I mean, there's no way they didn't sell it out for Garth
Brooks. Of course. It's Alabama.
And there's nowhere to move.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. So,
the Supercross was the most successful.
Yeah. That's what a guy on Twitter said. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, cool, man. Right on.
The sport is not beating Garth Brooks. I'm sorry, everybody.
No, I know. Like, so anyways, like, I'm just going to say it. I hope it's one and done.
I hope we go back. I really do.
I hope we never go back.
I thought it was fine.
I met a lot of cool people, a lot of friendly fans. I hope you guys just go to Atlanta next year.
I thought, by the way, the hotel being like across the street from the stadium, that was phenomenal.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
My hotel in Atlanta was almost an hour.
Until you got the bill, Weej.
Well, when you're a pit reporter for the Feld races, or play-by-play for the Feld races, we don't worry about
I know, but I stayed there, and good God, if anybody wants to go fund me.
Did you stay at the Sheraton or the Westin? Because I'm sure the Westin was a lot more.
I stayed at the Westin.
Yeah, there you go.
And
I'm sure that was.
People look.
Don't worry, JT. He is not doing these races on a budget. Don't worry. No, he's spending stupid money on things. Do not listen to these complaints.
No, listen.
Stupid.
Oh, I know where he vacations.
Listen, look for the GoFundMe later on for the Westin Birmingham.
No. JT, he was adding all the trimmings this weekend. I was very upset on Friday night. I got duped into a very pricey dinner.
Did you go to Texas Day Brazil?
Ruth's Chris.
I that would have been great.
Oh, Ruth's Chris. Oh, yeah.
These are self-induced
problems.
Thank you.
This is not Birmingham's fault. These are choices that are being made.
And I actually bought Mr. Side and Mr. Lewis dinner as well, which infuriated Weej.
Well, if you're going to take them to Ruth's Chris, it's probably the best.
The best part is just Mr. Side just looking smugly on as I paid his steak bill. I didn't know what it was. I was almost like expecting. He was expecting it.
Oh, this wasn't like preordained?
No. The way he acted was. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then
there's a difference there. I agree with you. There's a difference.
Yep.
Between what was great was like, actually. Go ahead, JT.
No, I was going to say the difference between like doing it when they don't expect it versus they're just like expecting you to grab it is that there is a significant difference there.
Mm-hmm.
The great part was we go in and Steve tells the waiter, I'll be picking up the check for these two gentlemen. And actually the real reaction was Mr. Side knowing this is great. I'm going to get a free steak dinner, but I will now be fodder. I will be destroyed on the review podcast and on Pulp on Monday night for accepting this. And he had to make the choice.
That's an easy choice for you though, Weej. Like you just.
He knew what was coming and you know.
Yeah. It wasn't the bill.
Nope. And then
I said, I'm like, Steve literally spends money on you just to have you to make fun of. And he's like, I know. That's not true.
Keefer
does it too. No. Wait, they spend money just to be able to make fun of me.
No, that's not true. I appreciate Mr. Side. We're true friends.
Oh, God.
But Weej gets Hansel involved.
You just want a pizza oven.
Yeah, I do. Weej gets Hansel involved. And Hansel being Hansel, it's all messed up. He comes later. He doesn't make it on time. And then at some point, we don't have enough room in the truck to drive back to the hotel. And he's like, oh, you guys got room? And Weej looks at him and goes, no, man, you got a steak dinner. You got an Uber.
How did I not get invited to this? Hansel got invited?
Yeah. Weech did that. Yeah.
Let me tell you how it actually went down. Hansel.
Poor Hansel. Poor Hansel.
No, this is how it worked. Hansel.
No, poor me. I didn't even get invited.
No, not poor you. You didn't have to pay for Roos Chris, so you're good. Good for you, JT.
I can pay for Roos Chris if I am invited, but I was not invited.
He does work the Feld races. So Hansel asked first. It's like 5 p.m. on Friday. And he's like, hey, you want to hang out and go dinner? I'm like, yeah, cool. And then Brett Smith, who is our statistician for the weekend, is sitting next to me. 5 minutes later, he's like, hey, man, what are you doing for dinner? You want to hang out? And I'm like, well, I'm going out with Hansel. He's like, sounds good. And then we walk out of the stadium, and I see Steve and Darkside. And as you know, on this show, I've been accused for dissing people out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what have you been to? They're like, we're going to dinner. And I'm like, can we come? And Steve calls a place and says, can we add 3 people to a reservation? Me, Hansel, and Brett from We Went Fast. But I was not aware of the brand name of this restaurant at the time. but Hansel was the first guy. I can't be like, hey, man, I said yes, and now I have a better offer, so no.
That's fine, but then you just left him hanging, grabbing his own Uber, because you determined that he got a free steak dinner for business purposes.
Yeah, well, I said this is the only time this year we'll probably have a stadium and hotel and walking distance. So I'm not going to go back to my hotel and then drive 20 minutes each way just to come back. So take an Uber.
Well,
yeah.
Quite an evening.
He decided to have a few drinks and he needed a ride. So that's on him.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. Fair enough. Sure. All right. Birmingham.
Glad I got the invite.
Yep. We've seen what your Friday night move is. It's AirPods and by yourself. We've seen it.
Well, yeah, because I don't get invited.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go.
I did invite JT. Remember what happened in Dallas?
Yeah.
No.
I hit a couple of you guys up. I think you, Will, and Brayton. And I'm like, hey, anybody doing dinner?
Oh,
and
2 minutes later, dinner at the stadium. Like, yeah. I'm not eating dinner at the stadium.
No, that wasn't my plan. I was like, hey, you guys want to meet for dinner? And then 2 minutes later, I'm like, wait, I just got offered free dinner at the stadium. Disregard that. Disregard that text. I'm not hanging out tonight. I'm out.
All right. Well, Birmingham, let's talk track. First of all, I've been advocating for a tamer track for mud races, and someone listened to me somewhere down the line, but
this is horrible.
So they didn't build whoops. They had waves. They had a 45-foot double instead of a triple. They, made not a lot of 5-footers out there. It was a rather simple track for the rain. But to be honest, we didn't get really any rain on Saturday. The Dirtworks guys did a good job salvaging it and building it, and it was not a mud race at all.
Thank you.
It was soft and muddy, but not a mud race. And so my whole idea of building a tame track to watch some good racing in the mud is incomplete. We don't know yet. The jury is still out. It'll be interesting to see if they try this again.
I don't think this one worked.
Yeah.
But the weather also didn't do what it was kind of supposed to do.
Right.
Steve, that's the fallacy of your whole concept. That's the whole problem. You talk about these things in hindsight. Like, after you knew it was a mud race in San Francisco, then you know that the track should have been built that way. But this happens all the time.
All we talked about in going to San Francisco was how muddy it was going to be. We all saw the weather over and over and over. I mean, it is Northern California in January. Same with Seattle. I mean, I'm talking about for sure mudders.
Bro, people were talking about Birmingham being a mudder last Friday. At Daytona, people were like, next week will be a mudder. And look what happened. You can never know for sure. That's the point I make weekly on this show.
Yeah,
don't ever know.
Yeah. So just listen. So the San Francisco and Seattle, just build the easy ones. Not Birmingham.
Okay.
It didn't work. But it was entertaining still. It was a good race. It was a good race to watch. There was lots to talk about. But it didn't quite work. The riders said the track was gnarly. So, I mean, you saw those ruts on the TV, and you saw the guys kind of going down on simple stuff. So I don't know if my plan worked or not. I'm not going to do a victory lap right now because I don't know. It wasn't quite the way I planned it, the way I thought it would show up. But
I thought it was treacherous enough, actually, that I feel the riders all told you that it was tough.
Yeah.
Just because of the ruts, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But what's the difference between what they're going to tell me on last night versus what they're going to tell me this Saturday night? Like, it'll be the same.
Oh, Indy will be
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, we're going to be in a dome stadium with soft dirt, and they're all going to tell me how gnarly the track was. So
yeah.
I just feel like this was just one of those, you know? So.
I was hoping that you would – I just want Ops to come in on Tuesday night and just be like, the track was too basic and not know what nothing's going on out there. I'm just praying that you do this.
No, I already started it. I was good. The Monster Girl. Oh no! Weech.
So, did you guys see the interview with her?
No, my wife told me there was one. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I watched it. I'm not. I don't know that I'm buying her story.
Oh, what's her story?
I'm trying to remember exactly what she said.
The 450s are faster, so it took.
Yeah,
they
got
quicker.
Okay, yeah, I don't buy that.
I'm
out. I'm out.
I don't think so because when I watch it back, she's like standing in the track.
Yeah.
Like, she was not running and ran out of time.
No.
Situation.
No.
No, I think she said she had to go back and get the board. Like, did she leave the board on the track? Is that what it was?
Well, leave the board. That's fine. Do not be standing in the track when the bikes come through.
So, she's fine, right? She's fine. I talked to somebody for the race.
She's fine.
I don't know how I know this, but I do know that the girls that hold the board are the more experienced Monster Girls. They don't throw some new Monster Girl out there. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know which one is which or who's who, but this girl, if you hold the board, you are one of the senior Monster Girls who have done this before. So I do know that, but yes, something went AWOL.
And it was the last race of the night. Like, we had other starts that weren't a problem, right?
Yeah.
So
can you imagine?
She didn't get hurt.
Cooper Webb hit the boards, not her.
Yeah.
And then she kind of dove. So she's completely uninjured. But yeah, I don't know how this happens.
I mean, it has to affect Coop a little bit. You know, I'm sure. I'm going to talk to him about it. But and then can you imagine Mui, Prater, Pelletier, just everyone? Just.
Oh,
just show control. Just going. Just, yeah.
Oh, that radio chatter.
Oh.
Those headsets.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's the double oh no of like, oh no. A, oh no, this is not good. And oh no, I've got to come up with a way to describe this. What words will I use in the next second to describe what we're seeing?
Listen, back in the day, we had older gentlemen. JT will remember this. We had older AMA gentlemen, sometimes not in the greatest of shapes, holding the boards up. If it was one of those guys, it could have been a lot worse. You know?
I don't think this was a matter of, like, you needed NFL combine level lateral quickness here. Like, this was a mistake was made.
No, but I'm saying. No, I know, but I'm saying if it was a larger gentleman out there, Coop hits them and not a skinny girl. You know?
You just can't be on the track no matter how you're built.
Yeah, get off the track.
Yeah. No, listen, I know. How about the girl that put the board up and just walked off one time? Put the 30-second board up and then just walked off?
Didn't turn it.
Didn't even just...
I'm out of here.
That was a good one, too. I think it was Anaheim, that one. Yeah, she's just like, I'm out of here. See ya. So.
Oh, wow.
Coop
was in the press conference. He was asked about it. He didn't use that as an excuse. Well, yeah. I mean, he was interviewed on the podium, too.
Yep.
I was worried that he was going to say, you know, I was going to try to latch on to Jet for the first five laps, and that screwed me, but he didn't go there.
Mm-hmm. Like a photographer incident we had?
Yes. Yeah. With Stu back in the day, outdoors, yes.
Right. You know what? You go to a Supercross, you're going to see something you never seen before. Like, you just never know. Like, that's a first for me. 26 years of going to these stupid races, and I've never seen a monster girl get hit. So chalk that one up.
I can't believe it didn't involve McAdoo.
We were joking on our group text, like, and she's okay, but if, say, she got hit hard and, like, end over end, and then you got McAfee picking it up. We got McAdoo a few weeks ago with all his junk out. We got a monster girl just getting, you know, blown up out on the track. Like, we could really hit the big time. This could be our way to get on ESPN. Like, people could be like, what the hell is going on in this sport? We got guys with his balls out. We got monster girls just out there.
We're going for every sort of cheap heat we can get.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it could be the way we – never mind X Games. This could do it. Never mind Jay Leno. You know? I don't know. We should think about this a little bit. JB said.
Didn't go further, to be honest.
JB said I could maybe be getting on Race Day Live soon. So maybe I'll bring that up on Race Day Live.
Oh, they'd love it. They would love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to just say, like, a little behind the scenes here. I do give credit. As you say, we work the Feld races.
Can we stop this or no?
You just want to move on from that? JT's been in the same meetings I am, and it is cool. They say, look, the judgment call is we're never going to pretend that something happens, that something that happened did not happen. Like, we're never going to be like, don't say this or pretend this, don't acknowledge this.
Yeah.
So that's why, for a second I was like, how am I going to describe this? But I was like, we say that if you see it, we're going to say it happened. So I credit them for having some level of editorial, which I'm honestly not sure 15 years ago on these shows that was the case.
Yeah, and same thing with the fans rushing on the track, you know? I mean, I think there was no edict from anybody at Feld to be like, hey, don't talk about that or don't mention that. You know what I mean? Like, to any, like, the press guys. Like, it was just like, yeah, like, we said it was brutal and it shouldn't have happened, and we all kind of moved on, you know? But I don't know, yeah, we felt like we could say whatever we wanted, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, thanks to Sean Brennan, by the way, for the pizza in the press box for the media. That was great. Fantastic to see that. All right, Jet Lawrence, two in a row. And, yeah, he didn't get a good start in the heat and took home a third in the heat. Eli rode great. Sexton rode great in the heat. And then this track, maybe more than ever, was start cross because of the simplicity of it, even though it was ruddy. I thought to myself about halfway through, like, Coop was trying to do Coop things, wasn't working. And I have a question for both of you later on this. But I was thinking of a conversation I had with Darren Lawrence back when I was in Florida. And it was after Dallas, and Darren said, yeah, it's a learning moment for him. He knows. Don't, you know, on a track like that, you know, don't jump something. If you're not straight, you're a little sketchy, don't do it. Back off. Take the half a second loss and keep doing your laps. And he'll learn and he'll figure it out. Now he knows. Darren said, now he knows. And I'm like, yep. And then we immediately watched Jet come into the whoops way too fast, jump into them, then correct himself and continue to blitz halfway through. You're just like, what? Like 30 seconds after saying that, you watch Jet just do this amazing thing in these big whoops. Anyways, yeah, so I was thinking about that out there. Like, this is something that he could have made a mistake on. Anybody could. And, you know, JT, I'll start with you. Like, yeah, no. He did a quad in that one rhythm at some point I saw on Instagram. I missed it on the race.
Yeah, in the main event.
Yeah. And then, just brought this thing home really nice.
Yeah, he's something special. And I like the respect that he and Cooper are giving each other. Cooper basically saying like how much of a competitor he is. And I don't know, you can just tell that these guys have to respect the level that he's putting forth. And they're, you know, it's kid's remarkable, you know, it doesn't mean he's going to win everything or win, you know, all the titles forever or anything, but he truly is remarkable. Like what he's doing in his first year, learning as we go, applying lessons. What else can you really say about the guy?
Weege, do you think this kind of goes back to the Daytona thing. If this is just last year, like, are Sexton and Tomac as good as last year and we just witnessed, you know, Jet being that much better and that the level what we saw was last year? So the question this week is, you know, does Webb track another rider down because he was really trying to do his thing late in the race and he did get it down from 4.4 to 3.1, I believe. If this is anybody but Jet, does Webb do his thing?
Well, I'm glad you actually specifically mentioned Webb because, you know, the stages of grief is the final one acceptance, right?
Yes, it is.
And, are you still my material?
Yes, that's right. That's right. It is what I heard on Friday. Well, I think we had this conversation, JT. Yeah, because I had these combos. So I talked to Webb on Friday. I don't think anybody really talked to him after Daytona. And I'm like, how was it? And he's like, I feel like I rode awesome. And he's like, I feel like I rode awesome in Detroit. And he's like, I've had some of the best races I think I've ever ridden ever this year and got fourth. And he's like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, it's because it's Chase or Eli, you know, or Anderson or Kenny or whoever. And now we have this other guy. And I believe, and I talked to Ian Harrison, he kind of said the same thing. Like, there's this acceptance of, wait a minute, maybe we're actually pretty darn good. And this guy is just at a higher level. And I think if you had told any of these guys this before Anaheim 1, just for being veterans and the respect they command, that would have been insulting to put that theory out there. But now that they've raced him 8 or 9 times, especially the way he did it at Daytona, I think there is getting to be a level of like, oh crap, I'm really good. I don't have like major problems that I can fix and then I'll get this guy. Like, what am I going to do here?
Yeah.
I don't feel like I heard people saying that until around now. Like, this is a real problem. They probably knew that in the back of their mind, but I don't think people were accepting or admitting it until now. And most of it is what? Saying this.
We did talk about this last week on one of my shows, and I did think that Sexton and Eli were not as good at Daytona as they have been in the past. But I still didn't take away from Jet's win. But I thought they were a notch worse, but maybe not. Maybe they were both, you know, neither one looks as dominant. Chase, Eli doesn't have a win, and Chase won in the mud,
yeah.
Right? So that kind of makes me think they're not at the level they were at. But
yeah.
They're close.
Yeah.
They got to be close. And,
right.
You know.
I just feel like Webb, if you go back to his title seasons, even his non-title seasons, he probably felt like, hey, I know Eli Tomac is a bad dude, but – and whoever you're battling at that time as well, Anderson or Kenny, whoever. But I don't think he was ever like, if I get my stuff together, there's still nothing I can do. I will figure out a way to beat these guys. But I think for the first time ever, he's like, oh my God, I love this bike. I feel like I'm in shape. I feel like I'm executing. I'm going really fast. And I can't do it to this guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, even with the great Eli Tomac, I don't know if he ever got to this point.
104 laps led JT to 27 so far. Yeah. Now, of course, that's not counting triple. That's not counting triple crowns. We're unable to figure that out.
Yeah, I wonder. We'll never know because I don't think he's ever going to be that honest with us or tell us, the answers that we want to know. But like when Webb is chasing him and he's, because I think when he was chasing like Roczen and we've seen him do it to Roczen so many times, it's immediately what goes into my head. But I think deep down he's like, I'm going to get him. It's just where, how, what lap, how am I going to do this? I don't know if he's having those same thoughts about Jet. Like every time he does what he did in Birmingham, and he was really close to doing in Arlington. He didn't. Jet made critical mistakes in Arlington. But I just wonder what's in Webb's head, at the halfway point when he's got that gap. Like, is it the same thing where he feels it's inevitability? Or he's like, I don't know, man. I don't know that I can catch this guy. Like, that would be interesting to know that.
On a track like this, I think it was more like, I can't push that hard. Like, I can't, like, I got to be careful. Like, I saw, just on-offs, Webb was pulling up his front end to try to get over. Like, it wasn't clean. I think a lot of it was like, I got to race this track. And I don't know. I'm going to go as fast as I can to race this track. I'm not going to worry about trying to catch this kid,
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't feel that way at all. I thought he was trying to catch him with everything he had. Like, they were in, like, a chess match. Like, both were pushing really hard. And I thought the track was super ruddy. But otherwise, it was really easy.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch, heat races, it was wildly easy. But I thought Webb's comment was pretty insightful. He's like, he got that gap early, and he's so good at doing that. And then, same old story, like, I couldn't do anything about it. And he knows that he can't let Jet get that 3 to 4 to 5 seconds that he wants to have. Because, let's face it, he's been doing that his whole career. And now, it doesn't matter who the names are. Before it was Kitchen and whoever on a 250 you want to throw in there. And now it's turned into Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac and Chase Sexton that he's doing it to. And it's the same damn recipe. And he's just getting the gap. And then we don't really know. Like, could he turn it up more if he really had to? We don't really know because most of the time he doesn't really have to.
Okay, Coop made up a second, so that was good. But, yeah, how much was Jet cruising, right? All of that. But coming to those switchbacks, Coop could look right across and see Jet right there. Just it had to have been so frustrating because, literally 2 feet away on the other lane,
It's one of those things where, I'm going to use a football analogy, but you hear this a lot. Like, they know what we're going to do, and we know what we're going to do, but can you stop it? And that's what I feel like Jet is doing. Like, when he gets to start like that, like, he's going to do everything humanly possible to build that cushion that he feels comfortable with, which we've seen over and over and over. Can you stop him from doing it? Because you know what he's going to do. And, Webb could not stop him from doing it in Birmingham.
Almost a race lead on Sexton, Weej. So, yep.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that why I'm using Webb as, the focal point of this combo. Because if you're Webb, you're like, look, man. If anything, this could easily be at the end of the year where Webb is second, right? I guess my point is ahead of Sexton, ahead of Tomac, ahead of Kenny, ahead of Anderson. Basically, if you're Webb, you're like, man, all these guys that I've been in a dogfight with for the last 5 years, look what I've done. I've put a gap on them. I've pulled away from them. I got those guys. So I'm doing something right. So at the same time, how am I not beating this other guy when clearly I must be at a very high level this year? Because the bar that I'm usually measuring myself by, and maybe you're right, Steve. Maybe Tomac and Chase aren't quite as good as last year, so maybe that's helped Webb. But that's what has to make it tough because I think he knows he's really good right now. As for the other guys, Tomac, I think it's too many points now. Like, what is it, 26? That's Sexton is 20. I think the bigger problem with Sexton is we're just not seeing any sign at all.
Well, his heat was good. That heat was impressive.
Actually, you're right. That was probably the best you've seen.
I was like,
there's nobody in it.
Jason Anderson.
Okay, well, Jason Anderson's 40 points out of the championship. Like, I understand what you're saying, but look at the other heat. Chase Sexton did ride well, but the other heat was absolutely stacked. Roczen.
Yeah. We just said Sexton rode great. That's all we're saying. He rode great in that heat.
No, I know, but you don't know what that would have looked like in the other heat if all the good guys are in it.
I believe Sexton had a couple of laps where he was the quickest guy on the track in the main. He was coming.
As Ricky said in the commentary of the race, I don't know if you got to watch it yet, the track difference, he was measuring lap times versus lap times, And Jet did a better lap on a much worse track in the second heat at the end. So there's some ammo there for that conversation.
Okay. Ken Roczen came from 10th to 3rd. That was awesome.
Yeah.
He rode really well.
Steve, it almost seems like Kenny can be really good sometimes. Just doesn't have it every time.
Yeah. Yeah, almost, right? It's almost like I've talked to him about this, like personally.
Oh, almost.
No,
no one's ever talked to Kenny before. You're right. Yeah.
It's not that. Weege, I'm guessing you're talking about my post-race interview with him?
No, I feel like your Kenny theory for the last 4 years or whatever.
Yeah, he brought it up in my post-race interview again.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just doesn't have it some weekends. He feels low on energy. He doesn't have it. He needs to rest more. He needs to stay off a bike. And then he can come back in and haul ass. You know, because I asked him about Daytona.
So why doesn't he do that?
He does, but I don't think he doesn't know it's coming on until it's here, until it hits him.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be a very difficult balance. Yeah. Like, to plan your schedule on Tuesday, and then you're like, oh, shit, I went too deep. Oh, no.
He rode great, though. Yeah, that was a really good ride. Yeah. Really good ride for Kenny, for sure. Third place on the night.
So I'll ask this. You know, Kenny is very much like a self-driven guy. He doesn't really have a trainer. Like, he's very vocal about that. Do you think it's something that maybe he would benefit from, is having someone constantly be checking blood levels and monitoring all that stuff? Because, to your point, if you don't know it until you're too far, that seems problematic. Like, you're just going to not be relevant in the championship at a certain point. Like, he's so damn good. Like, we know he can, when he's his best, he can win. He can beat anybody. And then he's just not, to your point. Like, there's got to be some sort of scientific way to lessen the chances of that, right? Like, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
He has, though, right? I think he's worked with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think I think he still works with Park a little bit, from what I...
But I'm saying, like...
Red Bull people, maybe not daily this year,
physiologically measuring this.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a way to kind of monitor. Like, okay, if he's just feeling low on energy and he's worn out, like, there's a way to quantify that with tests, right? Like, that is going to show up in something. Some sort of level is going to be low. His heart rate's going to be high. Like, his resting heart rate's going to be high. Something. This isn't my area of expertise. I'm just saying, with his level of resources, and when it's been this same pattern over and over and over, there has to be some sort of way to lessen this, right? If he was like a Tour de France racer or something, or I don't know. I understand that I'm ignorant on this topic. I just believe there's got to be some sort of way to help this not be such a debilitating factor in every championship.
I think he has gone down the rabbit hole. And maybe, to me, I look at it more like this is the best he can do. Like, it's not – he's no longer a complete disaster on the bad weekends. But just because of his other health issues, he can't ever get it to the point where he's perfect 17 times out of 19 weekends.
Where can I file the appeal? Judge Wygant.
Oh no!
Is the case still in the docket? Is it still?
No. That's it. It's been the documents were sealed.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll say some of the like this, like in the Supercross weekends we've seen, the differences haven't been catastrophically different, right? But remember some of these outdoor events that we've been at where he's just in 11th, and you're just like, what is going on, right? Those are the ones I'm more talking about, like. There has to be a way to do something about that is all. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Like, I'm not a scientist. But I feel like whatever he's lacking, like, that is a huge gap, right? And if you could cut that gap in half, maybe he's sticking around the championships more.
Dude, 2022, he couldn't even make it. So I feel like
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he is. I haven't heard anything about that, right? Like, everything I see, he's kind of doing his own thing and monitoring his own stuff. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sexton fourth. And yeah, at times Sexton had a weird race. He almost died in the rhythm after the finish. He got past Cooper. He got passed by Roczen. He was catching Roczen, and then Cooper got him back after he made a mistake. And then he got Cooper again. He got fourth, which, you know, probably doesn't make him happy at all. And I thought he rode really well. But that's mistakes and, probably letting Kenny by did him in. So
I think getting stuck behind Cooper, and I think the lack of passing wasn't the track being too easy. I think it was so rutted. There just weren't
it's the hidden downside when a track is not muddy, but even muddy-ish. Like, they're just the difference between the good line and the bad line is just too drastic. And I think once you get stuck behind a guy for four laps or whatever, some guys can cope with that maybe better than others. I think that's what got him. And I think that's what led Kenny to get him and everything else. I do know this, after the race, some members of the media that are huge Chase Sexton fans, true supporters of Sexton, captains of ships, were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And there were some very late meetings still going on in the KTM race.
Yeah.
For whatever it's worth.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Yeah. Look, the KYB thing is big. So that's – I talked to somebody on the KYB side this weekend, and that is – that there was some controversy with that. Like, where did they get it? Who helped them? Why are they helping them? You know, like you know, the Yamaha guys are KYB, and that's the competition. And what who on the KYB side is giving them settings? So, yeah, it's a whole thing, man. A lot of politics involved.
Yeah, this is, for people that don't know, this is, it's been spied out, and I'll credit Michael Lindsay here. This is, they believe there's KTM internals inside the
KYB internals. Yeah, KYB.
Internals inside the WB forks.
Yep.
WP forks, right?
Yep.
Yes, but I don't think they're just buying stuff off the shelf, but that is something you can buy, right?
Yes, but.
But that, you don't think that's what they're using?
They are using what you can buy, but there still needs, like a WP guy is not going to know the settings.
Oh, okay.
So someone from KYB is like, try this. Here. Someone who knows what Tomac uses and Cooper Webb uses is, or has an idea, let's say, has an idea of it, is they have to start somewhere with KYB stuff, right? So that's a little spicy meatball.
The bigger bummer here is also that I talked to DeCoster actually a lot on Saturday morning, and he was so optimistic. He wasn't specifying what the internals of these forks, trust me. But he was very optimistic that they had finally, this long journey that's been going on for a year or so now, right, of getting this bike right, he really felt like they finally had a direction, it was good, and now they were going to spend the next 2 weeks letting the Husky guys and Barcia test all this stuff. So the beginning of the day, there was such optimism of, we turned a corner, we got to figure it out, Chase is happy, Aaron's happy, the other guys, we'll let them try it. This could really work. And he specified to me that the frame is not as big a change as most people think. Uh-huh. Most of the improvement is suspension. And he really sounded like they thought they had it.
Well, maybe they did. I don't know. I thought Sexton had a weirdo race. Great heat, great laps in the main, bad laps in the main, like all over the place to me. Justin Cooper, fifth, got good starts. Talked to him after the race. He's excited. He's stoked. He, you know, battling with those guys, making small steps. So I think Justin Cooper's pretty excited about the way things are going right now for him. And
so I have a question for you, Steve.
Yep.
In the right before the main event, and it got rushed, they actually showed Grant Harlan by mistake. We were trying to show Chase Sexton. The 23
poor
number
Harlan
is where the things went sideways. It had nothing to do with Harlan. Somebody mentioned, I think, let's show 23, thinking of Sexton. He's number one. But he was, in qualifying sessions, he was fastest 24 out of 34 times last year. This year, he's 0 for 15. Is that him? Is that the motorcycle? Is it a combination of both? What is that?
Okay. He's not been fastest in any practices?
Zero. Qualifying sessions.
Yeah.
Zero of 15.
I feel like he's been fastest maybe in the free one, but anyways, it doesn't matter. Yeah. No, I think the bike. I do. Yeah. I mean, we can see the stuff with the bike and the KYB stuff. It's obviously not where he wants it to be. We know the preseason stuff, right? We all know that. So I would lean more towards the bike.
Okay. So does he wish he was still on Honda?
I don't know. Can you ask him? That'd be great.
No, I don't know. We're on a podcast talking about the race.
No, I'm not trying to be a smart.
You know, I'm just hypothesizing. Like, what?
I don't know. That would be a fantastic question.
Answer that question.
Well,
truthfully.
Maybe we can get a few beers in them somewhere.
Okay, got it.
Oh, really?
Are you gonna like inject him with beers? Like,
Listen, I've had beers. There's always beers around. There'll be a beer point at some point.
Yeah, not right now though.
No beers right now. I don't know. Great question, man. I mean, look, I don't think the major reason he left was because of that bike. He didn't want to be part of the whole Lawrence thing.
It's just an interesting thing. There has to be a lot of reflection going on.
Yeah.
Did I do the right thing here? I don't know.
Yeah. But no. Yeah.
Whatever.
I think it's too early to totally judge this thing, and I don't think I'm not saying you are. It's too early right now, but yeah, for sure. Yep. Good job for Cooper. Anderson, I think that's three in a row. He's basically had to come from either last or 15th or something, Jason Anderson. So he's got to figure that out.
Yeah, it's not gone well lately. His results have really slid.
What was he on the first lap here? Hold on. He was 12th, but of course that wasn't really 12th. We know that because there's no way to know exactly where he was, you know, coming to the first turn. Okay, Anderson. Tomac, 7th, great heat race. Fantastic ride in the heat race. And then bad start in the main. He started next to Jet. If you watched it back a couple times, which I did, I thought he shut it off a little early. He maybe could have drove it in there a little bit more. But either way, didn't get the start. And then, yeah, man, maybe just a little cautious on the first lap. And he was buried also. He was 11th. But probably further back than that. Still hasn't won. Eli Tomac.
I have a question for you, JT. Sexton getting stuck behind Cooper, I think, was a thing. And Eli was behind Barcia. Was it also Malcolm? It was definitely Barcia for a while. And Barcia was better than he's been. But that's not who Tomac right now wants to be battling with, because Barcia's really struggled this year. Do you think that it's harder to judge their performances because on this ruddy kind of one-line track, that it's a little, you have to factor that in. Like, you get stuck behind a guy for three laps, you really can't judge how they're running.
The problem is that, like, Jason Anderson passed him late and pulled away from him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That is,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but
that,
does that
I
lead
hear
to that?
You,
but he,
no, it doesn't matter. Like, old Eli Tomac,
yeah.
Daytona Eli Tomac, Arlington Eli Tomac, there's no way Anderson's passing him and leaving him. Like, there's no way. It's not happening.
Well, he did a 58, so I don't know if he fell or just made a mistake, but something happened. He did a 58.
But Anderson was like, caught him. Like, I was kind of trying to pay attention because I'm like, what does he have right now? Like, does he have pace? Is he coming? And it was not happening.
Oh. Yeah. And that's a bar to measure him with, right? Because we have so much Anderson versus Tomac data. Like, there's just – it's happened before where Anderson's been better than him, but it doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah, and especially after that heat race, right? Like, everything was going the right direction. And that heat, and then you throw that main out there, and you're just like, okay, so where are we now?
I don't know where we are with Eli Tomac. I don't know. Yeah. You tell me.
Well, it'd have been great. I thought Arlington and Daytona were trending the right way. Mm-hmm. Okay, didn't win, but things were looking better. That main event was not better. Like, there's no way to get around it. Like, that was not better.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping, JT, you were going to say, oh, you don't understand. I've been in this position. You get stuck behind a guy for a few laps on a track like that, it can totally ruin your entire riding for the rest of the main. No,
I mean,
that's not enough.
It can, sure, but that's not enough. Happen. But that can't happen right now. Like, we're too far into the series. He cannot have that ride right now. Can't do it. And I won't back away from that. Or, you know, like, I know the arguments we've had on this podcast. I get it. But I thought it really had turned a corner. And then the heat race really kind of built on that. And then the main event, I don't know what that was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on. I'm just gonna take the high road. Let's take the high road. We'll move on. Yep.
Okay.
You know me. You know me. Classy. All the whole way. Talk about Anderson. AP, kind of the same deal. Not as bad as Jason, but the Cowboy has had some mixed races lately. We saw him in Daytona go down. I guess he rode okay in Dallas, right? Yeah, he pressured Tomac
Glendale,
at the end.
Glendale crash, otherwise it would have been really good.
Yeah, he pressured Tomac at the end of Dallas, which was good. I thought I picked it up a little bit, so that was good. But yeah, not great for Aaron. Not as good.
I thought he's been really fast lately.
But not as bad
crashes,
as...
The crashes are kind of killing any of that storyline.
Barcia was 9th, and he just what you said, Weej, he Instagrammed that he was happier, and it was progress was made, and he felt better, and moving on up, so... Barcia 9th is a step forward for him and the team, I think.
By the way, I want to mention Barcia. There is social media that his property is for sale.
Yeah.
But that's not because he's retired. He doesn't even ride there anymore, really, for the most part. Since he's had it for sale himself for 3 years, he just finally got a real estate agent to help him with it. It's just easier for him to ride at MTF, and he goes over to Start. I think the days of the riders owning their own tracks are just kind of done.
It's just an expense and a stress, and it's just easier to just have someone else do it.
It's like the motorhomes, the days of all everyone having a motorhome. I mean, there's still some out there, obviously. But,
yeah, you're right.
Malcolm 10th, he fell. I talked to Malcolm for the first time this year. Finally found him, talked to him. He was cool. Very, very happy with his night. Just said he can't keep doing that, and it's tough. And he talked a lot about missing all that time last year. And I mean, and still trying to find a pace and trying to find the bike and all of that. So
when we hear everything is, you know, Malcolm's the fastest guy, Malcolm, like all of December, right? Like we heard, you and I both heard it. If it wasn't three times, it was 100 times at media days. Like, is that a case of you only know the pace of the guys that you're riding against and then the pace? Because we talked about that could be a possibility. Would, you know, these guys are all riding against each other. Well, what if the real pace of a guy like Jet or Webb is simply much higher and you don't know it until it's too late? Is that what happened here again?
But Steve, you ended up hearing that then, like, I think we talked to these guys at the beginning of December, and then Steve, that's like when the new frame showed up. And didn't you say you heard that then suddenly Plessinger was putting it to him?
Yeah, when AP went back after California testing, AP was now the quickest guy. And that comes from somebody like deep, deep, deep in that camp.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. It's just.
Yeah.
But still, even that.
Before then, Malcolm was. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Early on, it's still, you know, AP was fast at the first of the opener, whatever, but he wasn't as good as, like, Jet and those guys. You know, yeah. I don't know. It just. I'm starting to not want to listen to anybody in the offseason anymore. Like, I'm just out.
You're starting. I mean, how many?
No, I know.
What about J-Mart? What about J-Mart flying at the test track?
when you hear, like, Christian Craig, who knows how to go fast, he's just like, no one's touching that guy, no chance. I'm just gonna be like, yep, I don't even care what you say. I'll see you at Anaheim.
I've done that for like a number of years. It's nice to talk about, and like, it's off season, so we got to talk about something, but dude, I don't put any stock in that, and I go on and on about it. Yeah, I just like, cool, man. We even do an article on Racer X, like, text me who's flying at the test track, and it's part of it is just to like make fun of the whole thing, you know.
We had Bradley Taft hype 1 year.
We did.
There was some low-key Taft hype.
There was Taft hype. There was J-Mart hype. I mean, yeah. Okay, McElrath 11th. That's good. Is that a season best? Hold on.
No, he had that.
Fourth and
15th. Oh, yeah, the mud. Right. Okay, is that season best non-mudder?
I guess so. I feel like he finishes around the same spot every week. So
no, never mind. That is actually... Wait, no, I got the wrong thing open. Yes, it is a season best non-mutter.
Okay.
So, Adam.
Put that in your stat packet.
Yeah.
Season best non-mutter.
Season best non-mutter. AC 12th, yeah, he's, you know, he's out there. He's circulating. He did go to the Dune 2 movie on Friday night. Told me it was awesome. So.
I watched Dune this weekend, so I'm ready for that.
Dune 2 or Dune?
Dune. I rewatched Dune 1.
Oh.
In preparation for Dune 2.
Well, he went to Dune 2, so if you want to call him, talk to him about it.
And then I texted someone that, and then they texted me back, haha, well, I'm Dune your mom. I'm just like, okay, great.
Okay, thanks. Awesome, yeah.
Wow.
Sounds pretty pretty nice.
Yeah.
So Colt Nichols came back. I went into the beta truck after practice. He was in why was he in unseated? What is going on with the practice? Cade hasn't made a main event since like A1. Cade's in the A group.
The same thing. Why was he out there?
Nichols is factory guy.
Did he project his self-confidence onto the AMA? And then they
I don't know.
You know what, Cade? You're right. We're putting you in there.
I like Cade, but I don't know what's going on. And then Nichols, who's a factory rider, 250 champion, they always give those guys a couple shots, you know? And he's in B.
Is this I like Irv?
Why? What do you mean?
You said I like Cade, but...
Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to, like, shit on Cade here. Like, I don't know how that works. But anyways, Nichols is out there. He was very depressed about his riding. I was trying to help him out. Will Hahn came in the lounge. And then I said, don't listen to Will. Like, I'll help you. And then Will didn't like that. And then... he just was not happy after practice. They made some bike changes. You know, like everybody says since the coming of time that racing is different than practicing. Right? So Colt was finding that out. But in the main event, he pulled it together, beat his teammate Benny Bloss, who got 10th last week. And I made sure to rub that in Benny's face repeatedly. So, good job for Beta, 13th and 14th.
Yeah, I'm pumped for those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's respectable. I mean, that's, I think, all anyone would be reasonably expecting, I think. Yeah.
the first year.
Mitchell Harrison made the main event out of the heat. And I asked Mitchell, hey, I said, didn't you have like a little battle going with Benny? Because I kind of thought I saw that out of corner of my eye. And he goes, oh, no, Benny just blew right by me. Okay. Most riders would be like, oh, yeah, yeah, it was really good. Yeah, yeah, or whatever. So, but Mitchell was like, no, he blew right by me.
Mitchell's good in those ruddy type conditions.
Bordon, JT, I was 1 week off my Bordon hype.
Okay.
Okay, that's it? That's all you got?
Yeah, cool. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, he's good job. He made the main. That's
okay.
Awesome.
Chiz and Norrin, I had in fantasy, and they were down on lap two together. So that's great. Oh, by the way, too, Benny fell three times in the same flat turn in practice.
Oh yeah, this was the favorite part of my afternoon.
Yep. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I was texting his dad. I was texting anybody that was.
Yeah, I was texting him away. On the group text. I was blowing him up the group text, and when I got in the lounge, he told me to fuck off.
Yeah, I was pointing at everyone who was around me, like, you've got to watch Benny Blossom in this corner. He's going to set some sort of record.
Yep. It was just a flat turn, Weege, after the first turn.
Yep, just a simple right-hand corner. Yep. No big deal.
Bam, 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 three times.
Oh, we saw it. Yeah, RC and I were watching. We saw it. We saw it both. And then what did he tell you? Could have been five times?
Yeah.
Nearly?
Yep.
Yeah, it's great.
Chiz and Norrin, they just chizzed and Norrin'd all over the place out there together in my fantasy team. Aaron Tanti came back, made the main out of the LCQ. He looked very tired. He admitted that after the race. He's only ridden five times.
Did he DNF'd?
Yeah. Yeah, they crashed out. Yeah. And Hardog, I don't think Hardog finished. I thought maybe. No, but Tanti didn't finish. So how did Hardog finish? Okay, anyways. Grant Harley made his first main event of the year. Good job. John Short, 199, made the main again. Good job for John. He won the LCQ. And Dylan Ferrandis crashed out, like, lap three. So that is – Dylan's consistency is gone right now.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Not great. So.
Yep, I put him on my fantasy team saying, no, he's been good every week. Just steady, solid.
Yeah.
Nope, there he goes, riding off the track.
Yep, there he goes. All right, that's 450 class. So moving to 250s. Thank you to Renthal, Renthal.com, Monster Energy Kawasaki, Factory Honda, Red Bull KTM using Renthal products, sprockets, chains, grips, bars, Renthal.com. We've all used Renthal. Maybe not JT because he was always on privateer teams that took
what
money from janky companies.
You don't think I ever used Renthal?
Probably not. You always use like janky companies, I'm sure.
Oh, God.
Renthal.com, great sprockets, bars, all of it. Thank you to those guys from the 7/8 bar to all the way to the fat bar, man. They got you covered. Maxxis Tires as well. Thank you to Maxxis Tires. Great mountain bike tires. You know who uses Maxxis? Mitchell Harrison and Aaron Tanti in main events. And Maxxis Tires doing good things out there. They got a new tire, soft intermediate to hard terrain tire, and paddle tire as well now. Also, A-Ray, big Maxxis guy, in case you're still out there listening to, you know, thinking A-Ray's your guy. Maxxis.com for more information. Great mountain bike tires, of course. And Motorsport.com as well. Go order Motorsport. Go through the banner on PulpMX to help us out. If you have a secret street bike like JT, an e-bike, or a dirt bike, they got OEM and aftermarket parts. They've got all the brand names from Fly Racing to Renthal to Maxxis. Motorsport.com, thank you to those guys. Free shipping and anything over $79. Thanks for sponsoring this podcast, as well as Onyx Maps, Weech.
Yeah, Onyx Maps got 500,000 miles of trails, public and private land, mapped out. It's really good, by the way, if you live in the western U.S. where there's tons of these places. You probably know them well on your e-assist mountain bike, Steven. So get information on all these trails for mountain bikes, dirt bikes, whatever it might be that you're into, hunting, fishing, all that. Go to onxmaps.com or onxoffroad in the app store. And if you want to go past the free trial and pay for it, type in RacerX, all one word, all lowercase, and we'll give you 20% off.
And subscribe to RacerX and you can win an intense taser, bike of the year.
Oh, you must be pumped.
Yeah. Great.
Adding people to the family. Yeah, all new subscribers are entered to win. I mean, what are these, like $6,000 or something?
Yeah, dude, they're a lot of money, Wage. Yep.
I don't have one. Yes. Maybe I should subscribe to the magazine myself.
Taser MX model. So it's got the coil. It's got the coil spring, coil shock on it, something that I have to put on my bikes afterwards.
So you like that?
I like the coil, yes.
Mm.
Olin's Forks, really good bike, TRP stuff as well. Good battery, improved battery, so... Check it out. All right, 250 class, Birmingham, Alabama. Let's hope Birmingham's one and done, everybody. Let's hope so. Here we go, Birmingham. I did think Tom Vial's win was Daytona-induced. I really did. I'm like, look, dude's a good outdoor guy. He was fast here last year. Daytona's kind of a weird track. Like, that win is Daytona-induced. But, dude, he worked these guys this weekend. Won the heat, took off in the main event. And Tom Vialwege, great job. He's now got the points lead.
Yeah, this is real. I mean, look, good guys started behind him. You know, McAdoo has been riding great this year, and he just handled it. So, in our post-race show that we do on TV, Ricky made the point of, like, maybe we still need to see it on a track with real whoops. Maybe that's, like, the last rung of the ladder, but it's pretty hard to argue with this. I mean, he just crushed everything. Mm-hmm. You know, heat main. And maybe shame on all of us for not – I mean, it's just a guess how much better a guy's going to get in his second year at this. But I don't feel like we guessed it would be this much of an improvement. This is really, really, really good.
Yeah, JT, I feel like we just right. We all underestimated Vial a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great. The real question is like this, is this something we should expect like going into Indy, right? Because I don't know. Like this, the last two weekends where he's won haven't been traditional Supercross, you know? Either way, he's won two races, got the points lead. But I don't know if we go to Indy, you know, Foxborough, Philly, like, does this all look the same? Big whoops, you know, normal Supercross, is he going to be the guy? Still, I don't know. That's still the question that needs to be answered. But either way, he's had two great weekends in a row.
Oh, JT doesn't sound like he's on board, Weege.
No, I think it's more wait and see. Like, I'm not all the way sold yet. Like, this has been awesome. But you can't say that these have been, like, normal Supercrosses.
Nah, I'm in. I'm not saying title, but this is legit.
Yeah. Well, he's the points leader, so what do you mean?
Well, you sound really like we need to see it. We're not sure.
Well,
like,
I'm saying he's leading the championship is all I'm saying. Like, that's the level that he's performing at right now.
I would totally agree with you that these last two tracks have not been normal Supercross tracks. I would agree with you on that. But I don't care. He's in. Yeah.
I don't know what you mean then.
Okay.
Weege,
can you step in here?
Level right now is to be champion.
Weege, like, can you step in here?
He's
one up.
I know. But I'm saying I'm not sold on him being the guy that's going to win the championship, winning every weekend in Supercross.
Okay,
yet. Like, I don't think what we saw the last two weekends or what we're going to see on prototypical Supercross track.
I am not saying he is going to win every weekend or the championship, but he is a guy.
Of course. Yeah. Podium contender, no question. I agree with that.
Okay, all right. Weege, you just...
But we're not... So the problem is no one here is saying he just proved he is the guy.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that.
You're not there yet.
No, I'm not. Okay. I don't think he has proven, not on a real, like, normal indoor controlled environment, Supercross track with big whoops and all that. Like, can he be on the podium? Sure, absolutely. But is he going into the weekend the guy that everybody's looking at, like, I got to beat Vial this weekend? I don't think that.
You know what's interesting? We're going to go to Indy, and it's going to, as it generally is, it's going to be soft and rutted. So those whoops are just going to be like they were last year, which is like Endurocross. And if he wins that, we'll say the same thing again.
Yeah, no, I know. Hey, I'm not saying we're going to get answers right away. I'm just saying, big picture, I haven't seen enough. Like, I'm impressed. Like, this is great. He's really gotten better. But this isn't what Supercrosses typically are, you know, these last two weekends.
I'm in. All aboard the VL train. McAdoo has gone 2-2-2 the last 3 weeks. He's 1 point back. Good job, McAdoo. He was okay with the race. Like, he got gapped by Vial and lost, but he was fine with the race, and he has a positive attitude. And so, yeah, McAdoo's 1 point back. He's having a nice, solid season. We talked about it last week a little bit. Seth Hammaker, third from the LCQ win. He'll take that. We may as well address the heat race from Seth and Deegan. How did you see that, Weege?
Man, I don't know. I hate weighing in on these things. I mean, I don't know whose fault. I literally don't know whose fault it is. And to prove it, I'm on a group text with you, Steve, where you and another gentleman, who I will not name, but he's kind of a grumpy veteran who races 250 West.
Yep.
For example, you two could not see the same thing in completely more opposite terms. Like, you can't be further apart in your view. So I'm like, how, if it's this not obvious, how the hell do I know?
My blame pie would be 85 Deegan, 15 Seth.
Yeah, I think the other person might be going 100 Seth. So
I know.
Point,
how could you go 100? How could you go 100% Seth? Like, how?
I don't know.
He pushed a little deep. Like, when Bennett checks up,
yeah,
I think that's what, a lot of people would say you got to check up when Bennett checks up.
But sometimes outbreaking a guy is part of it. He got his elbow around him, you know? Like he.
Well, yeah. I'm saying, like, what did Bennett see that Seth didn't? Is that argument, right? Bennett, sure. Bennett slowed down for a reason. Seth didn't, and that's what happened to Seth because maybe he wasn't situationally aware enough in that dynamic. Like that, I could understand
well,
that argument.
He, you know, going against Seth is the Detroit crash that he kind of, you know.
Yeah, he caused it. Yeah,
he plowed into it.
Yep.
So, okay. So what's your blame pie on this then, JT?
I think it was a racing incident. I think I don't think Seth saw Deegan cutting across. I think Deegan cut across really hard to what kind of Ricky said. Like, if you don't leave much room, you open the door to things like this happening. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think both of them have some blame. I don't think it was anybody. Yeah, I'm definitely not 100-0 either way. You know, right. You give me 60-40 one way or another, I'd probably go along with it.
Sure, sure. Going back to the Pro Circuit truck, though, and yelling?
No.
Deke had a rough weekend. Jeez.
Yeah. To me, that was a lot about Detroit. Like the emotion of it, I think he's looking at you caused the crash in Detroit. He hasn't seen the film yet, right?
Yeah.
So he doesn't really know what happened. And he's like, you caused a crash in Detroit. I'm down a bunch of points. And now you caused this again. Now I've got to go to the LCQ. And I've got to get a terrible gate pick on a track where the start means everything. Like, great job, dude. Like, I think that's what Deegan is thinking without having seen anything, which is still not appropriate, yeah. But I think that's what was happening.
I was fine with Deegan's pass on Shock. Like, Shock owes him one. It was a little greasy. Like, but, I mean, he set it
they
up nicely.
Side by side.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, literally, like, parallel.
Yeah, I mean, hit, again, so, like, yeah. To me, Supercross is a contact sport. JT and I have disagreed on that. I think Shock, who I guess is getting surgery, Weege, right? Which is what we hear.
I don't understand. Okay, I'm not as confused as to who to blame for the first turn, Haymaker, Deegan crash.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hear immediately that he's broken his collarbone. He had already had a small, like, hairline fracture in the collarbone from Daytona. Mm-hmm. Shock fell on the whoops. Ironically got hit by Haymaker. Shock told me it was not Haymaker's fault, but the Club of Mets PR said yellow flags were out and the number 43 went wide open into Cody and the whoops. That's what the Club of Mets PR said. Cody said, no, that's not. It wasn't like that. So his collarbone was already hurt, and I guess just finished it off.
Yeah.
But then I hear you got – well, Steve, wait, you interviewed Shock after the race, and no mention of it, I think, right?
No mention. He was happy. He was fine. He looked able-bodied. He was hanging out. There was no pain. He was just chilling. I don't understand.
And then, JT, you said you saw him, right?
Yeah, I saw him at dinner last night.
Yeah.
Just chilling?
I'm not saying he's – doesn't have a broken collarbone. I'm not a doctor. I haven't seen an x-ray.
You have seen an x-ray.
I saw a picture of an x-ray.
Well, is that not different?
I don't know. But I saw him at dinner. He looked relatively okay. Like, I was shocked to see that picture and then see him. And then I saw him on my flight this morning, and he had a backpack on. And if I had a broken collarbone, I'm damn sure I'm not having a backpack on. So I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm befuddled by all of it.
Yep.
If he's hurt and can't race the series, that sucks. Like, period.
That's the word we get. He's having surgery.
Yeah, right. Me too. Like, we all got the same information, which sucks. I'm just shocked. This guy, he has to have, like, that condition where you don't feel pain. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like
people that literally don't feel anything.
The pregnant mother, the pregnant mothers who are on fire and they lift the car off their baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like that movie with Bruce Willis.
Unbreakable.
He can't feel unbreakable. Yes. Yeah, that he is Bruce Willis and Unbreakable.
It's weird. It's weird, man.
Yeah, if it's true, yes, that's really the takeaway here. That sucks because he's riding awesome. He wins a heat.
That's awesome. Cool job. Yeah,
he rode great in that heat, by the way.
Yeah,
like really, really well. Like he, before all the drama went down, he was gapping McAdoo and those guys. Like he was gapping them.
It was great. And then Hayden also cut the track and got docked two spots. It was a hell of a weekend. It was a lot. There was a lot going on.
Yeah, that is I would say that's too much. If you put all the incidents together,
that's too much.
The first turn, I'm not even sure. And like you said, you can make a reasonable case that last turn of a Supercross, this is what happens.
Yep.
But I think you put all of it together and it's like, dude, you got to chill a little bit.
Yeah. Go. You got a timeout. Go sit in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot.
I did enjoy how when he went over,
to the Cali truck. The only one that was really able to shut him down was Hanmaker's mom.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. Yep.
Yeah, and then I saw her, and I was like, oh, are you security detail over there? And she's like, I don't know. Maybe when he knew it was a mom yelling at him, maybe that's what actually got him to stop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think it did.
Yeah.
Mechanics and riders, they can argue. But when a mom gets involved, shut it down.
Super weird to see the Feld cameras right there, too. Boy, that was odd. Good timing, guys. Great timing.
Well, they are back there. They're waiting for this stuff. They are posted up in the pits, waiting for things to unfold, to be fair.
Okay. Is this like the second place interview that Deacon got that no one else got?
No. I'm saying when things go down, when things go sideways, they radio back and say, "Hey, X is coming back to the pits. Wow. Go to their truck." That happens all the time.
There's a lot of things going on with riders yelling at each other back in the pits a lot of times, and I don't see a lot of that on TV.
Well, Hayden Deegan's a superstar.
That was my point.
If this had been Jet Lawrence, I promise you this would have been on TV too.
You literally just named the two riders that Feld promotes the most out of. So
listen to what I'm saying to you.
I did.
They have video cameras that are posted up at Star and Honda ready for because they are the points leaders. That's what I need to know.
Star and Honda. That's all I need to know.
I don't believe they're assigned those positions, but I do say.
But I know, my personal camera guy, when he's in the pits, he waits at Honda.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
There we go.
He waits at that's his like stationary spot.
Yeah.
Is at Honda, and he pivots from there. So when something like this goes down with Hayden going to the LCQ, they don't know he's going to go yell at somebody. They're going to go back there and get B-roll of him getting ready for the LCQ. When he storms off, of course they're going to follow him.
Well, my whole point was it's amazing that Deegan got, and then you said they're posted up there. That was my thing.
I shouldn't have said that. I don't know that they're posted up at Star necessarily. I just know they are definitely posted up at Honda most of the time. But when things go down, they're on high alert, and they get the heads up to go see what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, like underreported is Anderson won the second main of a Triple Crown at Anaheim 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had Anderson riding back to his truck on a scooter and like high-fiving the team after that. But I did not hear anyone say, why do they always follow Jason Anderson around? They were just like, hey, the winner of the race will be back in his pit, get the camera on him. So they do make on-the-fly decisions. But yes, obviously it's a little bit bigger deal when it's Deegan.
I hope Brian sits Hayden down and says, hey, man, let's try to stay low this weekend. Let's stay out of the limelight. I hope that happens.
Yeah, I think you have to. Like, this isn't good. Honestly, for his own good. Like, it's not like the result has been good with any of this stuff going on.
No. He is 12 back. Still doable, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Pierce Brown, fourth. Pierce has gone 5-5-5-4. And sits in third place, and no one has said anything about Pierce Brown, but he's not crashing, so that's good.
Dude, I looked at his start stats. It's atrocious. I believe his average start is a 12. Like,
yeah,
that's unbelievable. But we do live in a world, by the way, where McAdoo and Pierce Brown might be the two most consistent riders week in.
Yep.
When you look at the results.
Sounds about right for this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
J-Mart fifth. Just thank God. Thank God he just got a fifth and just got a good start. Nothing happened. I was worried for J-Mart's sanity if he had had another big one. Like, it's not been good. So good job. Fifth. Take it. Jalik was in third and went down. That was a bummer. On that track, with that start, I told him after the race, I thought he could have got a third. You know, he's riding well. He did punt. Chance Hymus right off the track and then said no one is taking advantage of me anymore, and I'm like, all right, noted. But Hymus was actually okay with it. Hymus was like, yeah, I hit him in the heat. So Dax and Bennick 7th, Shock 8th, Hayden 9th.
Oh, you did talk to Hymus?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering how he took that.
No, he was like, yeah, you know, I hit him in the heat, he got me in the main, like, yeah, I gotta learn that stuff. Right. So his attitude was good. I was asking about his ACL a little bit, and he was saying that it's not really the ACL that's hurting him from practicing, because he had mentioned he wasn't practicing much, but he had a big get-off, I guess, 2 weeks ago during the week.
Yeah. So. Well, there's no – you know, like torn ACL, there's no real pain associated because it's gone. Like meniscus, you know, like it's semantics, but your meniscus is typically what's going to cause you pain. A lot of it would just be like instability.
Yeah.
And you can't ride very well, you know, like you can't practice. You're just managing swelling all the time. But, yeah, either way.
Henry Miller has gone 7-11-11-11. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been good. Like, I noticed it at round one, like, he was up there. And I'm like, wait, every week? It's like, every week, I'm like, oh, look at this.
Yeah, Henry Miller. Yep.
It's like repeatable.
Welton, 12th. Welton said Yamaha just released their AMA Arena Cross contingency with one round to go. So
do they back pay it?
Yeah, they do back pay it. And he's going to Vegas. He's coming here for the final round, the weekend of St. Louis.
Oh, I know so little about the series. I thought Daytona was the finale. I thought it was over.
No, there's one more in Vegas here.
Oh,
so
excellent.
Did you see that KP put some more points on it?
Yes, I was literally just looking at it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Welton, 12. Hardy Munoz. Steady.
He crashed early, guys. He did go down.
Oh, so I didn't see that. You texted that. Okay. Other than that, I'll tell you what. I picked him in fantasy, and he was LaRocco-like out there. Just steady doing the laps.
He looked good in practice.
Yeah.
He looked good in practice.
Yeah. So what do you think happened to Mahardy this weekend? Did something happen? Like,
no, I think the track was just really easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brighton Carroll, 14th. Bose Plug, 15th. Gage Linville, another main event for Gage Linville. Bryce Shelley, Ryder Floyd. Anybody? Logan Leitzel? Phelps?
Leitzel, first ever main event. What a crazy and chaotic.
Yeah. So.
And Chase Kessler. Kessler. Great.
That is such the epitome of like a 250 rider.
Jeez.
Like, you're all by yourself. You make a mistake. You give up the last spot. You freak out and you crash two turns later. Just like, yep, got it. So poor.
Like, I don't even know how you sleep Saturday night. Like, I don't even know how you can get any sleep at all.
We talked to Thury after the race. Is he dating a monster girl?
Yeah, he's engaged to her.
That's his fiance.
JC, I think is her name.
When did that happen, Weej?
I think they're engaged. If I'm wrong on that.
Didn't we know that?
I think they just got engaged, though.
Yeah, I think they've been together 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
How does Thury pull a monster girl? I mean, good job. Congrats. Well, Dom's awesome.
Well done, Thury.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And it was funny, when we were talking to her, like, no one – it's like the monster girls are just like a uniperson. Like, people don't know the difference.
Yeah.
So she's like – the people have been just asking her, are you okay? And she's like, it wasn't me. That was a different model.
I was just sitting there going, wait. Is that his girlfriend? Is his wife? Is she escorting him? Did he get a hole shot check? What's happening?
Was she just like, look, man, it's late. Can you walk me back to my hotel?
Yeah, exactly. That too. You have a dog here that can protect me, like a guard dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, can you? But I guess that's his fiance or maybe girlfriend. But good job, Thury.
Yeah, good for Thury.
Right.
Good for him.
Anstey's bike broke. It still wasn't going well. He was about sixth. He kind of stuck there. Got a bad start again. And yeah, I mean, look, I like the firepower guys, Yariv, Marty. This was my fear. This was the thing I brought up multiple times. I don't know if that team is ready to win a championship because Weej, as we talked about, serious Anstey hype. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I just can't go there on a privateer team in the 250 class. And I hate to say it, but we saw why. Like, the bike broke.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say you've been proven right for many reasons, but I can't say you were proven wrong.
No.
I mean, it only took half the season for this to happen. And I am curious. The starts have been really bad.
Yeah.
So I even wonder, you're getting a decent amount of data here where the starts haven't been good in any race. What do we have? 8 starts between heats and mains? Has any of them been good? Maybe.
Well, Detroit probably.
But 7 dudes were laying on the ground, right?
Yep.
So I even wonder if that might be a factor.
Oh, yeah, just not having the money.
Yeah,
to...
just the bike not fast enough.
Right.
I mean, that might not be true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 8 races maybe isn't enough to decide. But the bike breaking, I will give you credit. You literally did say this. I'm worried about that part.
Yeah, and now I'm going to get shit on by Yariv. He's going to punch me in the face next time he sees me. But, you know, I just,
Reeve was definitely emotional about this. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that sucks. That's
absolutely.
So sucks. Yeah. I mean, to do all the things right, to get, and then have everything go right, to end up having the red plate, it's just so much luck and circumstance that everything has to just work out, and then to just have it. And then JT, the interview was just spectacular.
Man, I felt bad because I tried to, like, hey, man, it's not over. This class is crazy. Look at Deegan. Like, it's not, you know, like, nothing. And he's just like, I think he wanted to slap me. Like
He wasn't having it.
No, I know. But, like, what are you supposed to do, man? Like, gosh, I felt terrible for him. It's just
rough. Yeah.
And I understand his frustration. He wanted to drop F-bombs, and I'm sure he wanted to tell me to get F'd at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's heartbreak, man. That sucks.
Yep, absolutely. He goes from first to eighth in the points. Yep. That is a kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
All right.
Brutal.
Well, that's Birmingham. On to Indy. Triple Crown. I heard, Weej, from my GP sources that a David Luongo will be in Indy.
That is true. Yeah, he'll be there. Cool. Yep.
Wow, okay. Yep. So what should I schedule a meeting?
Have you ever met him?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know if he knew who I was, but apparently he does.
I'm sure he does.
He's made a couple comments to people.
I don't know if he's a fan, but I think he knows you're in existence.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know. I was just like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. So, yeah, David Luongo, MXGP guy.
Well, we know how this will transpire. A year from now, Steve will be in presidential suites at a GP somewhere. This is where this is headed.
I mean, I've already got him into the VIP things that races before.
Yeah.
He's been there, basically.
And I think I made a decision yesterday on which GP I'm going to, me and my friend Lewis. We're in.
What national is – oh, it's High Point.
High Point. Yep. We're going to go Majora, I think, as friends, and miss High Point.
Get the VIP treatment.
I hope so. I want that gold pass thing where I can eat shrimp cocktail and all that. Yeah.
So. I will be at Riola Sardo the off weekend in April, and then I will be at Lommel, and then England, and then Motocross Nation. So I'll be at – or, sorry, Italy, and then I'm doing four.
This is so JT to fill in the off weekends in the AMA calendar.
Yeah, bro. Yep.
God, that is on brand.
No off days.
You couldn't – you'd have to Liam Neeson kidnap me on an off weekend to go to Europe. You know, like I.
Well,
yeah.
It is business related.
Yeah.
I need to get over there and sort some things out, and it's literally the only time I have. Weed, you know what our schedule looks like. I don't have another opportunity. Like, it's either that or I don't go.
You love it. You.
Yeah.
Love
exactly.
It.
No, exactly.
Well, not
exactly.
Really. Like, I was planning on going to Mexico on vacation.
Of course. You love that too.
Yeah, I would rather do that, but I can't. These are the only weekends that I have to get these things done. So it's just. I mean, you're the captain of, you just take one for the team and you just never stop working. Like, you red eye home and then you work more and then you do Weed Show. Like,
yeah, and his vacations, know. Hey, his vacation he took was Yamaha on Yamaha's money to South Carolina.
Valentine's. That hotel was, paid for by Yamaha with my wife from Valentine's. That's great.
Great vacation. Yeah.
You would love the JT. I came back to the hotel after the race and the TV crew was having some beers in the lobby and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll hang out. But meanwhile, I was editing and exporting the Weed Show. So I was like, beer in one hand, laptop in the other. And I'm like, I can't stop working. Like, I gotta, we can't do it this way.
I had a couple drinks and then I saw that crew there and I'm like, I really need to sleep. And I thanked myself so much this morning for sleeping.
Yeah.
I got 3.5 hours. That was it.
Oh, that's not enough.
No.
That's not enough.
No. Not good.
Yeah, that's kind of me too. But we lost the hour. That did.
Yep.
That was.
Yep.
That was really bad. You know, just so you know that this battle over is a race being good or bad determined on as a media member getting the pamper treatment, or is it based on what happens in the actual event? So you know, this is tale as old as time. Again, Brett, if we went fast, found a letter in Cycle News of Jeff Meyer and Davey Coombs in consecutive weeks battling it out on this point in 1997.
Wow.
Over, like, Meyer had wrote and said this GP was bad or the donations was bad because it didn't have the VIP tent and there wasn't good food and there wasn't good places for media to work. And then Davey said that shouldn't have anything to do with the coverage of the race. It only matters what happens on the racetrack. And I'm like, here we are, 25 years later.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, I still talk about the race or write about the race, you know, from that point of view. But, yeah, it affects everything. Absolutely. I mean, I don't expect the shrimp cocktail and tri-tip in Birmingham. I was looking for it. Didn't expect it. So.
Well, I can't wait to see you. Shrimp cocktail, St. Elmo's with David Luongo on Friday.
Yeah. Well, we got a live show Friday.
Yes, we do have a live show, everybody. So you get to hear stuff like this.
Yeah.
I feel like we kind of, you know how everything was really coming to a crescendo, coming into Daytona, like Eli's like, I'm not the old guy
mm-hmm.
and all that. Well, you two have really ramped up, I feel, the last couple of weeks, the arguing. So this is perfect
I will look forward to talking to Mr. Thomas about Tomac's title chances this Friday night.
But, I mean, you're looking really good right now, obviously. Mine was more of – it was a binary thing. That's all.
Yeah.
I didn't like the binary nature of your argument.
Well, I binaried myself into what I saw through the first six rounds.
That doesn't verb well.
It doesn't. Binary this weekend, everybody. Live show, Indianapolis. What's the theater? Irvine Theater in Indianapolis, Friday night. Tickets are available on PulpMX.com.
Irving Theater?
Yep, Irving Theater. Okay. We need to get some guests for it, or a guest. We have a gentleman for St. Louis already lined up, crusty vet rider, but we need to get somebody for this Saturday, for this Friday night.
David Longo?
Yeah, I'd love to.
That would be awesome.
I will ask him about these stupid qualifying races right off the hop. We'll get into that right away.
I don't think he's going to make the trip then.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe he doesn't listen to this.
Maybe.
He's just following the formula of every other motorsport in Europe. That's all he's doing.
Okay,
you know that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I know I don't, and I don't care.
Oh, no, I'm just – but that's that's what he's doing. Like, Formula One has it. MotoGP has it.
Yeah.
Now MXGP has it. Like, it's not like he – I don't believe it's not like he just dreamed this up and is like, this is going to – like, it's – he's,
yeah, but
you know,
motocross is much more dangerous than sports.
I'm not
just
defending
said.
It.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I think that's where it came from. That's all.
I think it's like we need to sell tickets on Saturday and get that money, and how do we get these
guys?
That
does guys, help, too. That does help, too. But these other motorsports really paved the way for it. But I think their rationale is the same as this, right? Like, I think it's all the same, the reason for doing it.
I'm an advocate for the riders. I always will be. That's what I do. I stand up for those who can't stand.
Oh, yeah, especially on settings.
I stand up for those who can't stand.
Literally?
Well, because they're riding, they can't, you know, they can't get off their bikes.
They have a seat. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Anything else?
See you Friday, everybody.
Yeah. See you Friday night. Triple Crown this weekend. Thank you to
Triple Crown. Oh wow. Okay.
Yep. Fly Racing, Maxxis, Renthal, Motorsport.com, Onyx Maps, all on board. JT Weege, thanks, boys.
See you guys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.